Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And welcome to Deeper Truth, and stand in the gap with us, and Blessed Mary Angela Truskowski, whose story begins with some of her words. And Blessed Angela would say, "One who is always ready to do the will of God is really a saint and already here on earth enjoys constant peace," she says. She said, "Desire more and more to grow in the love of God. Holy desires are like wings which transport the soul to heaven." And she would say, "In all your endeavors, have a good intention. Do everything for God without being influenced by human respect." And Blessed Mary Angela Truskowski was a compassionate visionary who founded the Felician Sisters and whose work inspired thousands across the globe. What a joy it is to see some of the writings of Blessed Mary Angela Truskowski, foundress of the Felician Sisters. And she would pray, "May the Lord be your everything. May he fill your soul with all kinds of consolations, and may he give you a humble love which expounds itself, a generous love which forgets itself, a strong love which is not afraid of pain, a stable love which does not danger or change, a patient love which can bear everything, a fervent love which never weakens, a constant love which never falters." And so, Blessed Mary Angela Truskowski, she loved our Lord. May the Lord grant us his holy peace and patience, so that with these two shields, patience and peace, we may carry the holy cross that our Lord in his mercy has destined for us also the lives of the saints. Shows us the way that leads to eternal happiness with God in heaven. And so, Blessed Angela, Mary Angela Truskowski, she was baptized, born in Poland, on May 16th, which happens to be my youngest son Jason's birthday, May 16th. And she was born in 1825. Jason was born in much later than that. He was born in 1986. But, May 16th, she was born in Poland. She was members of a holy family. Her parents were well-educated. Her mother, a devout Catholic, had a great influence on her faith. And today we honor a woman who submitted to God's will throughout her life, a life filled with pain and suffering, and born in 1825 in Poland, and she was baptized. She contracted tuberculosis as a young girl. And the forced period of, during this time, it gave her ample time for reflection. As a child, she was highly intelligent and generous. However, because of her fragile health, most of her education was completed at home. So I guess you would say she was kind of homeschooled. Sounds like to me. She was homeschooled, like many Catholic families are doing today, which is a good thing. And so her days as a young girl were characterized by schoolwork and reading, as well as daily mass, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and her nightly prayers. Her compassion for the underprivileged grew as she gained invaluable insight into the social ills and issues of the time from her father, a juvenile court judge. And so she seriously considered joining the cloistered Visitation Sisters. However, at the age of 23, while traveling with her ailing father, she was enlightened by the Lord during her prayer in the Cathedral of Cologne. And despite her love of prayer and solitude, she was destined to go among the suffering poor and to serve Christ in them. And she felt to serve God by working with the poor, including street children and the elderly, homeless in Warsaw slums. In time, her cousin joined her in the work. And the residents of the capital, upon seeing the little group of children being led before an altar in church, started calling them children of St. Felix. And with time, the name Felician became associated with the sisters. In response to God's calling, Blessed Kowalski became a member of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. During the day, she worked zealously for the cause of the poor, and at night, she prayed constantly seeking God's will. And with her father's financial support and her cousin's cloth assistance, she began to serve the abandoned children and homeless on the streets of Warsaw. In time, she opened a school and shelter to give comfort and aid to this vulnerable population. And at the suggestion of her spiritual director, she joined the Franciscan order, the secular Franciscan order, taking the name of Angela. On November the 21st, 1855, she consecrated herself totally to God and forged a new religious community steeped in the values and ideals of St. Francis of Assisi. And this new community came to be called the Congregation of the Sisters of St. Felix, often called the Sisters of St. Felix, or Felician Sisters, by the people of Warsaw. In 1855, the two women made private vows and consecrated themselves to the Blessed Mother. New followers joined them, and within 2 years, they formed a new congregation, which came to be known as the Felician Sisters. As their numbers grew, so did their work, and so did the pressures on Mother Angela, whose name, new name, she took in religious life. And so the mission of Mother Angela, her congregation, was clear. The Felician Sisters would work to ensure that in all and by all, God may be known, loved, and glorified. And for three successive terms, she was elected as Superior General by the congregation. And at the age of 44, she resigned from the role of Superior General. But she continued to watch over and guide her spiritual children and heartily endorsed the plan to send sisters to North America, personally blessing the five pioneers as they left Poland in 1874. And Mother Angela served as superior for many years until ill health forced her to resign at the age of 44. And she watched the order grow and expand, including missions to the United States among the sons and daughters of Polish immigrants. And she forged one of the first active contemplative communities that nearly a half century and a half would grow to more than 1,800 vowed sisters over four continents, serving in an array of ministries, patronages against with sickness, exiles, and sick people. And after years of suffering from gradual deafness, malignant tumors, and excruciating headaches, Mother Angela died on October 10, 1899. The instantaneous healing of a woman in 1984 was the miracle researched and certified by the Catholic Church that led to the beatification of Blessed Mary Angela. On April the 18th, 1993, Pope St. John Paul II beatified Mother Mary Angela, saying, "Blessed Mary Angela's life was marked with love. She was concerned about all people, those hungry for bread, the heartbroken, the homeless, and those hungering for the truth of the gospel." And Pope St. John Paul II beatified Mother Angela in 1993, and her liturgical feast is celebrated on October the 10th. And so the woman suffering from excruciating pain of incurable diabetes and neuropathy prayed to Mother Angela every day for relief. And on January 4th, 1984, this woman prayed to Mother Angela, and her pain disappeared, and she was rendered cured of the disease. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious lives of these saints and their prayer for us. And the healings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing many in the answer, as answers to the prayers of these people who are sick and heavy burdened and laden. And so we thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints. Blessed Mary Angela Truskowski, one who is always ready to do God's will, is really a saint already here on earth, and they enjoy constant peace. Wow. And that's the promise of our Lord. And Saint Mary, Blessed Mary, calls for us to pray for our priests today. We pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy today around the world, that they would hold fast the gospel, the deposit of faith that has been given to the church by our Lord, to his apostles and their successors. So we pray for our priests today to reach out and to teach today's Blessed Mary Angela Truskowski's out there, whether in Poland or the United States or through the sisters. And so how wonderful all this is, that we have part of, this is part of our heritage as Catholics, the one true faith. And so we pray for our priests today.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
And joyous prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them. Guide them. And keep them in your prayer. Keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement. And loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Like Jesus, they too are your sons. So keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus. And put Jesus always on their lips, so that Jesus is the one they offer to sinner and all they meet. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be their mother, loving them and bringing them joy. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in their hearts, in your hearts, in your heart. Give them a piece of your heart so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humility, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, make them humble like you and holy like Jesus. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. And may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. Incline them to constant adoration and thanksgiving, Lord, and pray in and through them. Let them live in you and keep them in this intimate union always. O Mary, Immaculate Conception, Mother of Jesus and Mother of Priests, pray and intercede for all our priests. Amen. And we pray for our bishops. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastors and teachers. And we pray for our deacons. Lord Jesus Christ, servant of all, send your Spirit upon our deacons as they serve your church, and give them eyes to see the needs of your people, and give them a discerning mind to know your truth, and give them a generous spirit when they are tired but needed. And Lord, give our deacons a humble heart when their work goes unnoticed, and give them peace of mind and health of body, so they may serve you, Lord, with strength. And make our deacons, Lord, fertile ground for your inspiration and love. Comfort them, Lord, when they question themselves and their ministry. And Lord, make their hearts, our deacons' hearts, like yours, so they may love your people. Amen. And Lord, we pray for our seminarians. Lord, give our seminarians the grace to follow you more perfectly. When they are lonely or discouraged, fill them with your peace. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make the hearts of our seminarians like yours. Dear Lord, please give our seminarians strength when they are weak, love when they feel forsaken, courage when they are afraid, wisdom when they feel foolish, comfort when they feel alone, hope when they feel rejected, and peace when they are in turmoil. Love, fill your church with the spirit of courage and love. Raise up worthy ministers for your altars, Lord. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And we pray for children, Lord. How important it is for us to pray for our children.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children. Children.
You'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young. Carefree children,
and help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection. And we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church, families, fathers, and ex-mothers. O glorious Saint Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world, and we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, along with Saint Blessed Mary Angela Kowalska, and Saint Nicholas and Saint Sebastian, Saint Maria Goretti, and Saint Daphna, and Saint Philomena, and Saint Gianna, and Saint Christopher, Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Raphael the Archangel, and Saint Monica, and Saint Anthony. Lord, you are our children, our children's and our grandchildren's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. And I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children and grandchildren. No plague will come near their tent. Lord, you are my strength in whom I will trust, the shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. Now I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. And Lord, we pray for the end of abortion. And remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. Pray for those who have recently passed. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries, focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives, and by your command we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change, but do not end. And I pray in hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all of those who have recently passed, known to you alone, in company with Christ who died and now lives. May they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. May they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belongs to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. And may Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. May Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those he has chosen. And we pray for those who have recently passed. And we thank you, Lord, for salvation, Lord. As we stand in the gap, we stand in the gap for the prodigals, Lord. Those who have left the Catholic faith, we stand in the gap for them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving them even more than we do, for watching over them when we can't, and for working to draw them to yourself. And we pray for America. We pray for America. We pray for our soldiers and veterans. And we pray, Lord, we ask you to bless the members of our armed forces. Give them courage, hope, and strength. Be their power and protector, leading them from darkness to light. We pray for the prisoner, Lord, those resident in prison, and their families. May they be aware of your presence with them, and may your spirit bring them peace and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. We pray for our police officers and our first line responders, our EMTs, and those who serve the public. We pray for in the hospital those who are nurses and doctors, and we pray for all those who are sick and ill that are there. We pray, Lord, for them, that the hospital setting would be a place of healing and hope for all there. And Lord, we pray for the elderly, Lord. Lord, you promised to carry us even in our old age. We pray for a spiritual strengthening for those who find their bodies are failing. We are a spirit more than flesh. Lord, help our loved ones embrace this transition from flesh to spirit gracefully and with dignity. And we pray for the poor souls in purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the Mass is said throughout the world today. For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And we thank you, Lord. And in this life, we are pilgrims.
sun is swallowed by darkness, and the moon is changed into blood. The children crying are trying to race the flood, and the stars fall out of the heavens as the water is turned into death. They're crying for the rocks to fall and hide them from the wrath of the living one they would not accept. Thank you.
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. The father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. And should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, we'll give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and his blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you and to say, I will. I will. I will.
And I will. And how important that is as we teach our children and our grandchildren the holy Catholic faith, which all around the world we are having to travel through the danger zone. And the best way to go through is the sacraments that Jesus gives us, to go to Mass, to receive the Eucharist in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in a state of grace, to go to Mass and to pray the rosary. So that way, in Jesus Christ and our Holy Catholic Church, we walk His line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash wrote I Walk the Line in 1956, the year that I was born. And thanks to my mother and our Holy Catholic Church, I've been walking the line ever since, so that I can and I want to sing.
I want to sing of your mercy. I want to sing of your love. And tell the world I'm grateful for everything that have done. I want to sing of your kindness. Want to share the good news. As long as I can sing, I want to sing about you. Grace,
Yes, and I will tell the world about the Catholic faith.
Final boarding call for flight 247 to London, now at gate 23A. Mr. Edwards, make a seat at the right paging telephone.
All final boarding call for flight 1814.
Just a prayer away. one Lord, one God, one faith eternally. Yeah, that's what the church believes.
In the kingdom, and the Catholic Church is the kingdom that the Lord established. Jesus told his apostles that he confers a kingdom on them. And so we are now, if there are obstacles that is holding any person out there, anyone from going to Mass, any obstacles that's preventing you from going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist in the state of grace, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and praying the rosary, anything that's barring you from getting closer to Jesus, whatever that obstacle would be, let go. Thank you. Amen. And so we pray for all who find themselves outside of God's grace. We pray for those in most need of the Lord's mercy. Go to confession. When you go to confession, the Lord casts those sins that you confess and throws them into the sea of the sea of forgetfulness. They cast them as far as the east and the west, and he remembers them no more. And you're given a judgment in the confessional, a judgment of mercy. That's why I call it the mercy seat of God. And the Lord will honor this mercy he bestows on you in the confessional. He will honor this mercy when we stand before him to face his eternal justice. He will honor this mercy he bestows on you because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He wants to offer you his mercy, decision to stay in the state of grace. And if there's any barriers that's preventing you from doing that, whatever those are, as the song says, let it go. And tomorrow, we will have our Stand in the Gap tomorrow. It's going to be St. John Bosco. He's going to be in the gap tomorrow. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, for all these saints that we are surrounded. We thank you, Lord, for Heaven's Hall of Fame. If we can honor our football players and basketball players and, you know, those who've reached high pinnacles in this life in sports, if we can honor those great ones like Babe Ruth and, you know, some of the great ones that's played the games, well, we can honor those who've made it to heaven. And the Lord gives us the Hall of Fame, Heaven, Catholic Hall of Fame, which we should all be reaching towards, striving towards. And the beautiful thing about our Holy Catholic faith, there's no second string here. There's no front line. We're all online. We're all there. We're all important in the Lord's eyes. There's no bench warmers there in that sense. We're all first line. The Lord, he takes the prayers that we offer for the needs that we have. The rosary, pray the rosary. The Lord is good. He is a great God. And so we will be back here tomorrow in the Stand in the Gap with St. John Bosco in the Gap tomorrow. And we're going to close for at this time, and we have a Eucharistic miracle that we're going to be sharing tonight on Deeper Truth. So I'll be putting that out a little bit later today, tonight. So we are so thankful. And one thing about the music that I play on here, I have been given such positives that people love to, if they're driving in their car, they could be listening to this in the radio, they could listen to this as they're working on their computer, doing whatever that they're doing on their computers. They can follow along and listen and pray with us and listen to the music, and they even work out to it. People actually work out, you know, and I love that. I do too. Because, you know, that's biblical. Just as we take care of our body, our bodies being in shape, so likewise, and more importantly, we need to have our souls in shape to pray. And that's why we focus, that's why we encourage people to pray. The rosary, the divine mercy. We pray for all these knows that we thank you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to pray for our priests, our bishops, and our deacons, and our seminarians, and our altar servers. We pray for all those who serve your altar, Lord. And we thank you for the sacraments, Lord. We pray for those who've recently passed. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. And we will close. We will close with this song. And then we will be back tomorrow.
He is the good shepherd, and he's laid down his life for his sheep. So out of many nations, he's gathered one fold in one faith. And he has built his church on the rock foundation of faith, on apostles and prophets who shepherd the people in his place. There is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one church, one body, one life in the Spirit, now given so freely to all. He gave to Simon Peter and to all of the 12 the keys of the kingdom, so darkness shall never prevail. But some of the shepherds have pastured themselves on their sheep, so he has come out against them and scattered his people of faith. But there still is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one church, one body, one life, and the Spirit now given so freely to all.
One faith, one hope, and one baptism, one God.
May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. And I will end with this. Our God reigns.